Well, against a 3-8 team, the Rough Riders didn't paint a Picasso. It was more paint by numbers, but they get it done 30-29 over the Toronto Argonauts before just over 14,000 fans, most of them Rider fans, at BMO Field in Toronto, as the Riders take over sole possession of second place in the CFL's West because the Edmonton Eskimos lose to Ottawa earlier 28-15. And to wrap up the triple header, the BC Lions have a 3-0 lead on Hamilton. I'm Michael Ball, along with Chris Best and Paul Waldo joining me here, and we'll chat some Rough Riders football. The number to call, 936-6262, in town, toll free out of town, 1-866-767-0620. This is the A&W Sports Cage Radio Roundtable. Today's special at A&W, a Mama Burger for just $2.50. And when you're calling in on the Great Plains Realty Hotline, we'll tell you that it's brought to you by Great Plains Realty, proudly selling Saskatchewan's finest farms. Call Mike or Shelley Jen Austin at 481-5574. We're just awaiting a phone call from Ashley Fulton, the wife of Xavier Fulton, the former Rider, Tiger Cat, Alouette. We're just going to talk about a charity event she's got coming up on town. But before we get to the calls, let's get to you guys here. Like I said, Chris Best, wasn't the greatest game in terms of looking great, but who cares? They won the game.
Exactly. An ugly win, still a win. I wasn't a fan of some things that happened today, but I was a big fan of the offense starting strong, you know. Defense looked like they kind of had their swagger back, you know. And obviously, Brett Lowther, what can you say about this guy? Just ice water in his veins, just
what'd
walked
I say?
Up and... Yeah, it was pretty much a walk-off by him, so that was awesome to see. So, you know, there were some warts, some bumps there, but, I mean, I'll take the win.
We'll get to comments from Paul Waldo and more from Chris Best in a minute. Let's head out on the Shepherd Great Plains Realty Hotline, pardon me, and say hi to Ashley Fulton. How are you, Ashley?
Hey, how's it going? I'm doing well.
Good. This is the wife of Xavier Fulton, the X-Man, former Rider. Now, you've started something called the Women of the CFL. Tell me about it.
So actually, Jordana Johnson and myself, we both started it. Jordana is the wife of Jovan Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
So her and I both thought that the women of the CFL needed a community that we could come together for just support for one another, a place that we can empower one another and have a little motivation. So we have a lot of things that we do for one another. And right now we are actually running our first Canadian-wide hygiene drive, which will be in 5 CFL cities.
All right, and we're coming to Regina here on September the 28th at Mr. Mike's, is that right?
Yes, that is correct. We actually have 2 drop-off locations in Saskatchewan, 1 in Saskatoon and 1 in Regina, as well as our official drive that will be on the 28th at Mr. Mike's.
Okay.
So in Saskatoon, it's actually going to be at ANC Detail and Residential Commercial Cleaning, and in Regina, it's at Spa, Cantique, and Salon.
Okay, and so what are we looking for here in terms of the hygiene drive?
So what we're doing is we're actually collecting items for Sophia House. Sophia House is a women's shelter, so they are in dire need of actually size 4 diapers is something that we really need right now, as well as anything that you could think of that, you're going to be using for hygiene items. So shampoo, conditioner, body washes, laundry soap, as well as, you know, sometimes women just want to pamper themselves and feel good about themselves. So face masks, makeup, skincare, nail polish, things like that as well. They can also bring in towels, bedding, things like that.
Okay, cool. So, Ashley, this is going down September 28th at Mr. Mike's in Regina here. And once again, where did you say it's taking place in Saskatoon?
So, in Saskatoon, our drop-off location is ANC Detail and Residential Commercial Cleaning.
Okay.
Anyone from Saskatoon listening, that is right across from Leon Furniture.
All right. So, and what time does the drive go from? When can they drop the stuff off?
So the drive is going to go from 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock p.m., and that is Mr. Mike's in Grassland. Mm-hmm. And the girls there are going to be Holly Jefferson and Mila Anania. She is Adrian Clark's girlfriend, and Holly Jefferson, obviously, I think we can all figure that out. That's Willie Jefferson's wife.
Yeah. Cool. Awesome. That's excellent. Well, thanks for this, Ashley. We appreciate it, and good on you and the rest of the ladies for empowering women and helping out a good cause in the process. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to let everyone know what we're doing. Yeah. I really appreciate it.
Say hi to the X-Man for us, too, okay?
Hey, Ashley.
Hi,
X.
Hey, and Paul and Chris are here. They're saying hi.
Oh, hey, guys. And congratulations, Chris, on your baby.
Thank you.
Yeah, George.
Yes,
hey, you want to know what Macho Chris Best does now, Ashley? He washed his son down in the bathtub while the game was going on and read books to Libby, his 4-year-old daughter, while the game was going on.
So how she's 4 years old already? Wow.
Yeah.
Saturday night.
And Walder, what did you do?
You know what? I'm actually waiting for the little guy to get back from grandma and grandpa's tonight. Oh. So it's about the same thing. Bath time.
Yeah.
You know, you give them bottles, read them books, and all that jazz. So
I saw you changing a diaper.
I do it.
Yeah, I saw you changing a diaper once. You didn't look that natural at it, though. Anyway.
You caught me at a tough time.
Oh, is that, are you there, X-Man?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, X.
Yeah, there's
good to hear from you, buddy.
Love. How's it going there, big man? You're in Chicago now, right?
Yeah, we're in Chicago. I just left my great aunt's place.
Nice.
For a good visit.
That's awesome, man. Well, it's nice to hear from you. Take care of your fine wife and tell her she's doing some great work.
Come visit.
Yeah, come visit.
Come back, buddy.
Come for the home playoff game because it looks like the Riders took a big step tonight.
Yeah,
so
close.
Yeah, make sure you come and say hi when you're back in town, okay?
All right, I definitely will. As long as the Riders are footing the bill for the flight, I'm there.
All right. Take care, brother.
See you, man.
Take care, guys. See you guys. Take care. All right. We're going to take your calls, 936-6262 in town. Toll-free out of town, 1-866-767-0620. The Saskatchewan Rough Riders, 30. The Toronto Argonauts, 29. Lots to give away here. Our Wisers Player of the Game, prize pack, a gift card from Taco Del Mar, and they hit the showers with Sud's Car Wash as well as the Rough Riders win tonight by 1 point. You're listening to Rough Rider Football on the Saskatchewan Rough Riders Radio Network. And welcome back to the A&W Sports Cage Radio Roundtable on the Rough Riders Radio Network. Riders 30, Argos 29. These guys sitting to my right have 3 Grey Cup rings and 2 Grey Cup rings, respectively. That'd be Paul Waldo and Chris Best. They're here to take your calls. You can't talk to anybody that knows any more about football than these two guys. So let's start with you, Waldo.
Yeah.
It's a great win. It's a good win. Any win's a good win.
Absolutely.
When you're getting to September, October on the road.
Absolutely.
Riders start the second third with a big victory. And they're now in sole possession of second place. But we're starting to see some cracks on this defense. They're giving up a lot of yards. They were last week? 500 yards, and it's 400 yards this week. 460 against Macbeth, the quarterback, they have some weapons, but they aren't a very good team.
Right.
So how concerned should you be that the Riders' defense is starting to wane a little bit now? Or, as Etcheverry always says, not all yards are equal.
You know, I agree with obviously Etche's point, but I mean, you know, the reality of it is, I mean, that's probably going to happen. We've been spoiled with a defense that's so insanely opportunistic and productive that, you know, 500 yards total offense, I mean, isn't the be-all and end-all, especially in the CFL when teams are going to throw for 400 yards. I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, I think it's once again, we speak towards a lack of production by the offense, I think, is what hurts the defense. You know, if the offense can't get going, the defense is on the field a lot longer. Mm. Of course they're going to give up plays.
I mean, granted, in the 29 points, one was a pick six, so you can't hang that
right
on the defense.
Right.
But how concerned are you about the yards being put up against this defense?
I mean, they did make McLeod Bethel Thompson look probably a little better than he actually is tonight. He definitely, I'm a little concerned, but not especially. You know, as I said, like it's natural to have a bit of a lull right now. They've been playing out of their minds the whole year here, and obviously we did enough to win tonight, and we did make some pretty good defensive plays. So I'm, you know, if it's a continuing trend, I'll be more concerned. But I mean, I still think they played better than last week, and I think we'll probably see them kind of returning back to form here soon.
Are the Rider fans, are they in shock? They're not calling. Are they in shock we won? Are they're just happy we won?
Too cold.
Yeah, is it too cold? It's funny. We watched the Huskies game because I was calling the Rams game, and of course you're coaching the Huskies.
Right.
That was the last day of summer. Can you imagine?
It was insane. It's cool. Heat pockets in my mitts, and it was a little frosty out there.
Big win there for the Huskies, and right now it's the Hilltops leading the Thunder 21-17 at the half.
Close. Halftime, yep.
Close. It is close. Okay, so let's we'll get to the calls. 936-6262 in town, toll free out of town, 1-866-767-0620. Lots for us to talk about. First off, Marcus Thigpen at 32 years old. We talked about him in the pregame show. Mm-hmm. He is, we know he had a little PED violation to start the year, but the guy is a specimen. He's 32. He looks like he's 22 running out there. And all he ever does is make big plays. My question is, why in the bloody hell don't we have him on the field? Why can't he be an every down player?
I don't think he can be the every down player just because he is 32. You kind of want, if a guy like that would get worn down if he played like 30 some, you know, 60 some snaps a game. But I do agree with you that we do need him more. We definitely need more than that. Like, he needs to touch the ball, say, 10 times a game. He needs to be on the field at least as a decoy another 20 times a game. Yes, give him 30 times. Like, you know, let Shaq, like, let Trey Mason get most of the carries, but let, give him a chance here, man. Because every time he touches the ball, he scores touchdowns.
Now,
it's ridiculous.
Now, SJ Green is bigger than him, but he's 33 going on 34, yeah, or 34 going on 35, and he plays every snap. I'm not saying we need to cap him at running back every play, but I'm saying he should be on the field every play, because in a team without home run hitters, he's a home run hitter. 80-yard run, 82-yard run today, 97-yard kickoff return. The guy's like, what are we doing here?
It actually, when you really think about it, makes no sense. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's the most explosive player on your football team. There isn't anybody that's been more productive per touches. And, you know, why he touches the ball twice. Like you said, whether he plays 30, 40 snaps on offense, and at least he's a decoy, he has to be accounted for. I mean, you could start, put him in the backfield and even have him, you know, get mismatches with linebackers. I mean, he's a natural receiver as well. He played slot back in the league when he was in Hamilton here before. So he's so skilled. Especially for a struggling offense, I don't understand.
Have you seen a guy, like, I just picture him in crossers running east and west. Who's going to cover him? I haven't seen anybody catch him when he gets open field. Like, on a screen or something, you'll get him. But when he breaks the seam, he's gone.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, he is he's probably the fastest guy in the league. Like, it as you saw, he made all those DBs look slow out there. And, like, those are the fast guys. You know, they're way faster than I ever was in my dreams, you know. So, yeah, he's incredible. And he definitely needs more touches out there. And, like, it's really a shame that we're not giving him those chances, and that really could help our offense.
Yeah, you know, and we talk about Chris Jones finding guys as we're watching the TV in the control room here. Ricky Collins Jr. showed flashes here, never did stick. Maybe it's because of, I don't know exactly why it didn't stick.
It was like, I don't know. He was a bit of a, like, a great player in the ball in his hands, stuff like that, but he didn't like, no, he's not like a bad character guy like Jerron, but, like, he didn't like not getting the ball as much. And in our offense last year, we had so many weapons, like, he just wasn't going to get the ball that much. So it's too bad, and obviously good for him doing all right out there in BC, but it's hard, you know. Sometimes you have to swallow your pride in a team game.
Well, I just like the fact that he is rolling here and playing a pretty good football game for the BC Lions or a season. And speaking of that, that's the next thing to talk about, fellas. Daron Carter, let this be a lesson to kids that talent doesn't supersede team. And we always talked about, is the juice worth the squeeze with Daron Carter? It wasn't here. And you saw a little bit of humble pie here again today. We were all talking about the matchup, and he was talking about how it was refreshing to have a quarterback that could put the ball in the money. He had zero targets today. He might have one target, but no catches.
I think it was once. And then
he's
on the bench. And he didn't look like he was happy to be there. So, you know, it'd be interesting to see exactly why he was there, obviously. It's a guy, he's a big playmaker. He is a guy that can stretch the field. And once again, for a team, you know, when you compare them, like that Toronto offense, it doesn't really have anybody that could blow the top off you. I mean, SJ's great, more of a possessional big play receiver, but I was surprised. So it's interesting. It's interesting.
You find out a lot about people, not when things are going good, when things are going bad. When adversity hits, how does a person react? James Wilder Jr. didn't look too good in the first half. He was sitting out three or four series in a row. I don't think it was injury, because he came out and played like his hair was on fire in the second half. He looked motivated. But what's up with James Wilder Jr. this year? That guy, he just doesn't look like himself, and he looks disinterested.
I mean, he definitely wants to succeed, and he's kind of feeling like, you know, last year, obviously, around this time, Toronto went on a big run there into the playoffs and, like, had a heck of a end of the season. And I guess he's probably kind of – he's seen the writing on the wall that it's not going to be happening this year. Like, chances are he's not going to the NFL next year because he's not putting up those numbers he wants to. So he probably was pouting a little bit. And from what the TSN guys, I said, basically one of the coaches basically read on the riot act, like, hey, man, like, you, we need you in this game. You need to get your head focused, you know. And he was a different player. We saw that James Wilder Jr., that he was, because he's a very capable guy. Like, he's
a beast.
He's a beast, and in the passing game and in the run game. Like,
talk about when a guy like that comes out of the backfield trying to cover him as a DB, thinking about trying to tackle a big guy like that when he's motivated running downhill.
Yeah, the thought's terrible. absolutely terrible. You know, Jerome Messam was a guy like that you always feel it's kind of like one of those.
He drops the boom more than mess, though.
Oh, he does. And and Jerome's really not a strong runner. They're just, their body types are the same. But yeah, a guy like him, as athletic as he is and as explosive, yeah, that you just don't want to see that. Not if you're me, you don't want to see the other guys on the back end. And it's interesting now that you look at the season. I think, you know, a lot of people didn't know who he was really until obviously he came on and, you know, in mid and late forms. And now teams really got to plan for him. You know, you really got to make a conscious effort to stop not only just the run game, but to stop him. And I think teams have kind of clued in on that. And, you know, there's the controversy in the offseason about him wanting to hold out and getting paid. And that usually never works out pretty good. No. So it doesn't really surprise me. But once again, I mean, you saw two different players in the second half and who he was in the second
back
half.
Back to Daron Carter, the other malcontent on the team. Like, it's amazing how you go from
the
penthouse to the outhouse. Like, the guy last year playing the Argos made the catch of the year backhanded.
Yeah.
But he got a little bit too big for his britches. It's kind of sad. The guy's 27. He's an unbelievable athlete, but can a guy like SJ Green help him? Can a guy like SJ Green help him?
To a degree, I think, to an extent, because at the end of the day, you're your own man and you make your own decisions. And you talk about humble pie, but not one player is bigger than the game itself, and I think he probably felt like he was, because he'd gotten away with it for so long. Mm-hmm. And now it's like you said, humble pie. It's really starting to click in, because teams that have him aren't using him. You know, they're putting him on the other side of the ball. So as good as he really thinks he is, which he is, it's not false. Once again, he doesn't precede the team.
SJ Green is a revelation, isn't he? Mm-hmm. 32 or whatever he is, he's unbelievable.
He really is. I mean, it's incredible what he can do. I mean, everyone counted him out. Everyone thought he was done. Like, he missed like a year and a half.
Well, he ripped everything.
Everything.
He was never supposed to play again. Not only get out there and play again, but to play at a high level and not just be a possession guy. Like, he's still got some shiftiness to him. You know,
he does. He's deceiving. Obviously,
that big play down the sidelines.
Yeah, I mean, a longtime teammate of mine, and I sat there and watched him on the practice squad for 2 weeks, 2 weeks, 2 years. I'm sorry, 2 weeks, 2 years, day in, day out, and go to work and not complain and not yip. Although he was arguably, I mean, he had a guy like Jamel Richardson who was right there, and they were the same style of player. So he's just a hardworking guy that, once again, is just focused on making plays, and he does a good job.
And by the way, speaking of knee injuries, who had their heart in their throat when you saw Naaman Roosevelt go down like that? Thank God, he just bounced up like Gumby, and flexible. I don't know. He
looked a little stiff after. He did look a little stiff.
But he was able to.
He was able to make it. But and he made some big plays. Obviously, he had his first 100-yard receiving game of the year, which was awesome for Naaman to see.
Crazy.
But like, I'm sure he'll be a little sore.
Isn't
tomorrow.
That crazy? That's his first 100-yard game. But he had a big game, and kudos to McAdoo. Kudos to the Riders. They got the ball to him, and that's what you need to do. We talked about it on the pregame show. Mm-hmm. Feed your horse. I don't get coaches when they don't feed their horses. The horses can run. Give it to the – that's why I'm back to Thigpen. Why is he not on the field? Get him on the field. We don't have enough home run hitters. Get him on the field.
It's a simple game. It's a simple game, you know. It's just simple game of throw and catch, like my old coach used to always say. You know, just get your ball to the guys, the playmakers, and let them do it.
All right, when we come back, we'll take your calls. Jim, Wayne, Dennis, and you. 936-6262 in town. Toll-free out of town, 1-866-767-0620. As Jeremiah Masoli served up a pick, although might be pass interference against the Lions. Either way, Leos have a 3-0 lead on Hamilton. The Riders in second place. What do you think? We'll be back to talk more here on the A&W Sports Cage Radio Roundtable. Riders 30-29 over the Toronto Argonauts. A 56-yard field goal, second 56-yarder of the year for Brett Lowther. The kick was with the wind at his back, so it was wind aided, but who cares? The Riders win. And I talked about this in the pregame show, Chris Best. I think Brett Lowther has to get some serious consideration for your offensive MVP. As putrid as this offense has been, he has come through in clutch situations, a nomad kicker replacing Kropinia, and he has been clutch for this football team. And I'll tell you this. I talked about this in the pregame show, Paul. I don't know if you heard this or not. But you look at the NFL, and Zane Gonzalez gets cut by Cleveland because he can't handle it. The Vikings, who have a Super Bowl caliber team, start with that Carlson, the rookie kicker. Mm-hmm. Now they go to Bailey after they've soiled the game in what's going to be a tough division to win with Green Bay. They should have won that game. Mm-hmm. Like, the way these games are now and how close they are, I know we can make fun of kickers and diminish the kicking game. You got to spend money on a kicker. And Brett Lowther deserves every dollar he's making right now.
He's not making enough. Who knows what the standard player, this rookie contract, I'm assuming, or whatever.
Minimum.
Whatever they're paying him, it's not enough because like you said, I mean, just look. Who are you going to give it to? Who would you give it to? You're not going to give it to team the essentially the poorest offense in the league.
Who else?
I mean,
could
nobody. You actually there isn't
maybe
a
Lambert.
Lineman.
Maybe Lambert. Well, he's probably more rookie.
Labatt.
Labatt.
Yeah.
Because that's the only one.
He's got. That's a good point.
But no. But you see, when you score points, you always win over the old lineman. So it would be Lowther.
Like, it would be Lowther, but
he's
well,
far and away our biggest point scorer.
But to me, it's not even a dispute. I mean, we're arguing two guys, and that's it. There's nobody else in the
question.
If
he doesn't make that field goal, fellas, we are talking about a team that let another gift get away, and we're in a second place tie with Edmonton again. Like this is a huge kick, and I think we diminish special teams so much. Mm-hmm. We say it's a third of the game, but even in practice, you guys know they don't devote as much time to special teams as they should.
No. I mean, it is super important. It is a third of the game, and like you do win and lose. We literally watch it. That's how you win and lose games. Our kicker could hit his field goals. Their kicker couldn't, and like that gets us a win there.
I want to get to kicking something else in a second. I want to get your opinion, but let's go to the phone lines. Great Plains Realty Hotline. Say hi to Jim in Battleford. Go ahead, Jim.
Well, I think Thigpen probably is a big part of the offense, so I'd consider him with what you guys were just talking about. But how about let's throw the ball to an old Canadian that's going to catch the ball and be that second down sure-handed receiver.
Rob Bagg?
Rob Bagger.
Yep,
well,
exactly.
I'm going to tell you something, Jim. This isn't coming from anybody else, but I'm going to tell you this right now. It was a big stretch for Chris Jones to bring Rob Bagg back as a leader and as a mentor and whatever. It would be. He'd have to swallow everything to admit that he was wrong by playing Rob Bagg, and I think that's... nobody's telling me this. I really feel it's like if I bring him back, I got to admit I was totally wrong. I think he's just back to be a coach. That's what I think he's back for. He's a uniformed coach.
Yeah, maybe. And maybe he's old and slow, but I bet you if you threw the ball at him like some of these younger fellows, they might learn that you got to catch it. And it's a tough thing because they've been making some great catches and they've been missing a lot. I'm just kind of frustrated.
He's not fast, but he's the Canadian white version of Thigpen. He's 30.
Exactly.
Thigpen's 32. Yeah. He's 33. He's a he's a specimen. Rob Bagg is a specimen, man. So yeah,
and Rob Bagg doesn't go out of bounds and chicken out. He takes a hit and he's tough. And I guess that'd just be good role modeling for the young guys. I was a little disappointed with that field goal at the end of the half too. I thought that was kind of chintzy and that could have made the difference in the game too. But just loving the show, guys. Keep it up.
Reiterate the field goal at the end of the half. Are you talking about the Toronto's field goal? That was after the that was after the SJ Green catch.
Wasn't a catch.
It wasn't a catch. Yeah, like where's the review from the league on that one?
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I thought too.
All right, thanks, Jim. Appreciate the call, man. Thanks.
Never ceases to amaze.
Yeah,
me.
Yeah. Like where
you have the damn thing.
Yeah,
I'm just
it boggles your mind, doesn't it?
It's crazy. We're the crazy ones. We're even trying to think about why and how things end up going this way because it's just strange.
If you've got replay, use it correctly.
Yeah, especially inside those 3 minutes when it's 100% on the league. You know, the teams can't do it. The league's got
to
be responsible for
supposed
that.
To do.
Yeah, unreal. Okay, let's go to Wayne. Wayne on the Great Plains Realty Hotline here in the A&W Sports Cage Radio Roundtable. Wayne in Victoria, go ahead, man.
Yeah, I just wanted to congratulate the team, but mainly Brent Lowther. You guys have already stole my thunder on that. He's one of the best kickers in the league, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, it'd be him and Lewis Ward. Him and Lewis Ward, yeah. Him and Lewis Ward in Ottawa, for sure, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm a little disappointed in, number one, still dropping balls.
Yeah.
So I don't know what they're going to do about that. But that's one of the things that was disappointing. But I think the offense is slowly getting a bit better anyway. They made it closer than it should have been. Let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm. But they won, and they're not going to ask you. The only one by 1 point. You won the game. So that's
Oh, no, I'm not complaining. We've lost games that we could have won this year. Well, I mean, every year it goes that way, but it seems like the Riders always make it interesting, don't they?
Yeah, for sure. We took our foot off the gas a little bit in the third quarter there. Seemed like we were just happy with our effort, and then we let Toronto kind of storm back in, and luckily Toronto is not, they're not as good as, say, Ottawa was last week. They couldn't let it make us pay for that.
Is it a trap game next week against Montreal, or are we okay?
I think that was last week.
We can't have a trap game. We only have to look at the standings, and I'm going to tell you this right now. That game that they lost to Montreal here at home turf could come back to bite them in the butt, so it should not be a case where you're looking past Montreal Alouettes, for sure. Thanks for the call.
Right now we're ahead of Edmonton. That game on October 8th is going to be massive.
That's the home playoff game right there. That is a playoff game right there.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
you got it.
Thanks for the call, Wayne. We appreciate
it. You bet.
All right, Dennis from Buffalo drove to Toronto. I don't know what kind of voice he's got, but he's a super fan in the States. Dennis, go ahead.
Oh, my my God, I got no voice, but what a game. Yeah, I'm on the QEW right now. I'm with my son, who's good luck for Ryder game.
Nice.
Yeah.
Keep bringing him.
What's your son's name?
Patrick.
Patrick. How old's Patrick?
16, and he's learning to drive, so that's the other thing that's scary.
On the QEW.
Oh, no. Is he driving right now, Dennis?
No, he's not driving right now. He wants to, but I'll wait till we get back to the stage.
So does Patrick like the CFL better than the NFL?
Do you like the CFL better?
It's about a tie.
We'll take it. Hey, Dennis, I forget. Well, how did you become a Ryder fan? How did you become a CFL fan?
Okay, I will give you the short version because you got all the callers. Because I lived in the Buffalo area, we always picked up the Canadian radio and TV stations. And in 1976, even though I was aware of the CFL, my parents took me to Peterborough, Ontario, nearby called Elm Lodge for this awful fishing trip. And I was trying to turn
That's
on
my mom's
the,
hometown.
Oh, my God, it was awful. I wanted to watch the Montreal Olympics. I was trying to find the channel, but instead I found the very beginning of Montreal, Saskatchewan. And Saskatchewan had these really cool bright green uniforms, and Montreal, of course, has these putrid, awful-looking uniforms. So seeing that whole game, I can't even tell you who won, but I just that was the team that I kind of hoped would always win.
Mm-hmm.
Then you fast forward a little bit to 1980, where I met one of my best friends, Don, who's the other Ryder fan, the only other one in the United States, I imagine. And he, by luck, was a Ryder fan, so then we became the best of friends. When the 1982 strike in the NFL occurred, the first strike, I was so mad at that strike in that short 9-game season, I just became all in at that point in time.
Yeah.
And the first quarterback that I remember, I'm sure I've seen Ron Lancaster, but the first quarterback that I remember seeing all the time was Joe Paupau.
Throwing Samoan,
great name, bad quarterback.
Well, he was decent on the BC Lions. He was a pretty good BC Lions quarterback. He was there with Roy DeWalt, but then he came here at the end of his career for sure. So anyway, just quickly to wrap up here, Dennis, was your heart in your throat when Lowther lined up for the 56-yarder?
Yeah, 56 is my new favorite number because this is the second time I've done it.
Dennis, do you know the first 56-yarder that he kicked here in Regina? He actually hit the ground. He kicked the ground when he booted that one through.
Did he really?
Yeah, he said he should have been good for 58, yeah.
You know, because I'm from the States and they're not showing CFL games, the only two games that I've actually seen other than listened to were the two games I went to. So I had no idea that he kicked the ground first.
Yeah, he kicked the ground
first. I remember
first.
At the very beginning of the year, he missed that close extra point, and I was going, oh, man, we're going to be in trouble.
Yeah.
But I'm glad he's one of the best now.
Well, he'd be our offensive MVP for sure. Thanks.
Absolutely.
Better be.
Thanks for the call, Dennis. We appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Safe trip home, man.
All right, take it easy.
That's Dennis Gore, our friend who listens all
That's
the time.
Cool.
Yeah, he is cool. Let's go. He was here for the 2013 Grey Cup. Just came by himself, got a ticket, and came
perfect.
By himself. Met some people. It's awesome.
Cool.
Yeah, he's a good guy. Okay, let's go to Ian on the Great Plains Realty Hotline here on the A&W Sports Cage Radio Roundtable. Ian in Saskatoon, go ahead.
Hey, guys. It's nice to hear that guy from Buffalo.
Yeah, it's awesome. Cool. Yeah, Ryder pride.
A couple of things here. I'm overall happy that they won. Like, they should win, and they finally won one that they should win.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's kind of funny to think that, like, they got an ugly win where the offense did something because they've all been ugly on offense.
That's a very good point, yeah.
And it's kind of really nice to see Jerron Kardashian didn't really do much today.
He actually did less than I thought. I thought he was going to get a couple URs. We talked about in the pregame. He didn't even do that. He was just not even there at all.
They didn't try to get the ball to him.
No.
That's so much talent, but it's all about him, you know?
Mm-hmm. I think we
might. That's my opinion. I never met the guy.
No, he's a nice guy.
No, you're pretty much right.
Well, he is a nice guy. I mean, I don't think
he's immature.
Person. He's just so immature.
He's immature.
You know, what I mean is the stuff that he does for fans, you know, like that girl that was in the front row of that.
Yeah, I mean, you can't.
You know, like
that.
His
That's
heart's in
stuff.
The right place, right. But he's, like you said, he's just a kid.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is kind of going to sound kind of weird, but, you know, when Naaman Roosevelt went up for that pass and he came down and his right leg was kind of bent the wrong way, it didn't look like there was really anything wrong with that until the Argo player came over. Yeah. And it looked to me like that was the third time that an Argo defensive back stepped on a Ryder receiver when he was on the ground.
I didn't really notice him step on him. Yeah. Maybe
I saw him whack him pretty good, but I mean, that's part of the game.
Yeah, you're always getting stepped on.
Hey, and then the only thing that maybe is something that you can talk about Winnipeg ran the ball hard on us. Ottawa ran the ball hard on us. Third quarter, Toronto came out and ran the ball hard on us. So we got an issue with the middle. We got an awesome pass rush and good defensive backs, I think. But it's I'm kind of worried about whether or not we can stop the run and whether we got the linebackers to do it.
Ian, thanks for the call in Saskatoon. We appreciate you listening every week and calling in every week. One of the great listeners here in the AW Sports Cage Radio Roundtable. I wonder how much the three-man front affects
you,
that.
You took the words out of my mouth. But I'm telling you, you don't give yourself enough credit, Ballsy. That's exactly what it was. I mean, they played three-man front for literally the majority of the game until that last drive where they were bringing pressure and they were incredibly aggressive. So that's what ends up happening. You get complacent. Like I said, you got a decent lead or you're controlling the game and you feel like you can just rush three and, like I said, you know, force them to.
It's tough. It's tough, though, to flip a switch at the end.
Agreed.
It is, yeah.
Especially with momentum and all of a sudden your back's against the wall and it's almost like a train off about to get off the tracks.
I wouldn't, if I'm the Riders, I'm not taking my foot off the gas.
No.
That
was the problem today.
Yeah, full pedal to the metal, especially with our offense because it's not like you have a juggernaut offense.
Totally. Mm-hmm.
You know, you gotta
stick hopefully they can learn the lesson here. Like, this is 2 weeks in a row now we've kind of learned the lesson. Last week we learned we're not as good as we think we are, and this week we learned we have to give it 60 minutes effort.
Right.
Like, that's one of those things that coaches always preach, you know, 60 minutes. It's, like, such a cliche. But we saw today what happens if you don't give 60 minutes, and we luckily escaped just by the skin of our teeth.
It's better, though, Chris, to learn a lesson and win.
Yes, absolutely. I'll take it.
Anyway, when we come back, we'll have more from Best and Waldo. We have Suds Car Wash gift certificate to give out. The takeout of the game brought to you by Taco Del Mar and a special blend. Wiser's Players of the Game is picked by Rod and Luke. We'll talk to Chris Best about a big alumni event coming up. And get more of your calls. You're going to be talking to two Grey Cup champs here, so ask them whatever questions you want. Best and Waldo, along with Ballsy. It's the Rough Rider A&W Sports Cage Radio Roundtable on the Rough Riders Radio Network. Brought to you by A&W. Today's Rider Game Day special is a Mama Burger for $2.50 and our hotline sponsored by Great Plains Realty. Mike or Shelley Jen Austin at Great Plains Realty. Buying or selling farmland, call 481-5574. Just before we get to the phone calls, and we're taking your calls to the big voice, had Randy, Jeffrey, and Trevor on the line. Watching this game here, the BC Lions taking on the Hamilton Tiger Cats. Let's talk about the tale of two quarterbacks here. Because you got Jeremiah Masoli, who's playing better tonight, but his play has dropped off ever since the shadow of Manziel left Hamilton. It seems like maybe he got a bit complacent.
Great point. I never really thought about it that way, but the first 3 weeks he threw for, because he almost set a consecutive streak, right?
Yeah,
he
games,
tied it. Yeah.
Right? He was on fire. MOP candidate in week three.
Yeah.
If we were going to crown one, that would have been him. And, you know, and then, like you said, Johnny Lees, I think he gets. He relaxes a little bit, and I mean, it is what it is, but I totally agree with you.
It's kind of like the Lamar Jackson effect in Baltimore. Joe Flacco is, I think he's average, but he's playing, even though they're off to kind of a little bit of an average start, he's playing pretty good because all of a sudden Lamar Jackson's there, right? Getting in for a few plays here.
Oh, yeah, he's feeling the pressure finally. You know, when you feel comfortable, you know, you kind of maybe don't quite, you still work hard, obviously, you're still professional, but you don't have that extra chip on your shoulder, like, oh, they're trying to replace me. I got it. Hopefully it's not that case for Masoli, but it seems to be.
And you remember when he came on the scene in BC, everybody's like, we had this guy in camp and we didn't keep him, Jonathan Jennings.
Mm-hmm.
What are you seeing from Jonathan Jennings? Is it the Casey Printers effect? Everybody's kind of caught up to him now. They got tape on him. His decision-making maybe isn't the greatest.
It seems to be, yeah. Like, obviously, he's a good athlete. He can run around a bunch there and like make some plays with his legs. But, I mean, obviously, they keep leaning on Travis Lule because Travis Lule is a heck of a quarterback in terms of being a quarterback, you know, making plays with his arm, going through his progressions, hitting open receivers, and they don't think Jennings can do it the same way that Lule can, and, you know, obviously defenses kind of know his weaknesses and can limit him pretty easily.
It's too bad that Lule got hurt again because BC's defense is starting to fire in all cylinders.
Yeah, I mean, it's and you just feel bad for a guy like Travis Lule. I mean, he's one of the most exciting players to watch, in my opinion, when he's healthy. I mean, I might think there's a couple of guys better than him in the league, but not many. I put him in that top three. I really do. So it's tough to see that. And, you know, the one thing that he has that I think Jonathan Jennings, I think they're the exact same quarterbacks except on opposite spectrums, if that makes sense. I think Travis Lule is an exceptional quarterback who throws the ball really, really well and can run. Jonathan Jennings is an incredible athlete that has a strong arm that can throw, but not, you know, their strengths are different. And I think, obviously, being in the CFL, being in the Canadian Football League, where you got to throw the ball and you got to be able to read defenses, that's obviously where Travis Saleh is.
Want to get to your thoughts on Zach Kolaris' performance tonight, what you thought of it. Let's go to Randy, though, on the Great Plains Realty Hotline. Randy and Regina, go ahead, man. Randy, are you there?
I'm right here.
Go ahead.
Okay. You know, I know you talked about getting the ball to Roosevelt on the pregame show.
Yeah.
And it worked out tonight. It was other than they did a great job getting it to him.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And just one more thing. What did you guys think about the pick six that went against us? What did you guys see on that?
Okay, we'll let Paul see this because Paul's been in that situation on the field. Paul, you can answer Randy's question. What did you see in that pick six?
Yeah, I mean, throwing that out the way he threw it, it was thrown inside, right? Mm-hmm. So obviously the defensive back had inside, essentially ended up getting inside leverage. I mean, he sliced it underneath and ended up, it was almost like a tug of war. He just kind of pulled it away from him. That ball has to be thrown either low and outside or even high and outside, but it just has to be outside for sure, where either the wide receiver's going to catch it or nobody's going to catch it, especially on a pattern like that. It almost, if I'm not mistaken, not that he got a lot of pressure, but I felt like he just didn't really step into the throw. He might have felt a body on him or whatever it is. And
it was a late throw, too.
It was late. Yep. So,
it was a late throw. And the problem is the way he runs it, sorry for interrupting.
No,
way he runs his route, if the ball's thrown the way Paul says it's thrown, he's boxed out the defender and nobody can catch it but him. But the way he threw the ball, it turned that guy, was it Thompson, I guess?
Washington.
Yeah, he had two, actually. It turned Washington into the guy that ends up boxing Naaman out, because Naaman's got to turn around and he can't get back to the ball. So I think that's on Kolaris, actually.
Mm. Okay. Anyways, great game, and thank God for our kicker. It's awesome.
Yeah, no kidding.
No kidding.
Yeah, everybody's saying thank God for the kicker. Let's go to a Jeffrey on the Great Plains Realty Hotline here in the A&W Sports Cage Radio Roundtable.
Hello, guys. Well, I thought the offense looked better than last week. Also, I thought great kicking by Lothar. I have two questions. So in the fourth quarter, it was the beginning. Bartel threw the ball to 91. I'm not sure who that was.
Jeter.
And it was 3rd and 6. Yeah. Do you guys know why they did that, and where did that call come from?
Okay, so is that a call? And that's a good point, Jeffrey, because I was going to bring this up to Chris. Is that a call where, or Paul, even you can answer it? Is that a call where that's Bartel makes it on the fly? If he sees something, he can do something with it, or is that from Dickey on the sidelines?
I almost want to say did on the fly, just because all those guys, if your whole offensive line, as it was on the punt team, if they all release downfield, like the play's dead, just like we saw. It's going to penalty every time, and that's what they did. So it's almost like, Bartel's on a different page than everyone else. You know, I think Jeter just basically noticed what was going on and like turned around.
Funny moment when somebody asked Jones on the sidelines who was upfield, and he turned and goes, "Everybody."
Yeah, it was
kind of funny.
I know, it was weird. Very strange sequence of events. I don't know.
I think a lot of times, you know, on that punt team, you know, you watch film and you say, okay, well, you know, the ends or the, you know, the outlaws, the punt return guys that are playing on the line of scrimmage, if they tend to leave early and don't make sure that the ball is kicked, then, you know, kickers will get the green light. They say, okay, well, if they turn early, then, you know, tuck it and go.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, I think he had thought about doing that, and once he thought about it, then figured it's probably not a good idea, and they turn around. It looked pretty organic. Like, it wasn't – I don't think it was set.
It's got to be – well, Jeffrey, you had one more question, then we'll finish with Paul.
Yeah.
Also, do you guys know why they didn't use the run game that much in today?
I don't know. The passing game was working, that's why they went with it. And Toronto, actually, the one thing Toronto was doing a good job of is stuffing the run. Mm-hmm. But the one thing is, you know, Chris, best, McAdoo, if he tries something and it doesn't work, he just goes away from it.
Well, he always sticks with the pass, but the run especially, he'll definitely get rid of the run. Like, if you have two or three bad runs in a row, he just tosses it out.
Yeah,
it is weird.
Anyway, Jeffrey, thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
Yep, bye-bye.
Back to the punt. It's got to be seductive, though, eh? Like, you get the ball, you see, it's only 6 yards. I can make that. And then when these guys start running, these unathletic guys are like, I can't make it. No, wait a minute. I can't make it.
It's like slow motion all of a sudden.
I think it's a good idea. Then all of a sudden, the longer it plays out, you start to realize it's probably not going to work.
All the guys in the sidelines go, no.
You know you're going to get yelled at by your coach, and you decide to throw it to a lineman down the field.
He one of the guards? Was he even eligible in the first place?
I don't even know.
Usually a DN would be one of the guards or tackles. He wouldn't have been eligible in the first place.
He must have been a guard, I would think. He's a bigger body, right? 91, so I mean, your ends are going to be a little bit more athletic linebacker types, and he's, like I said, he's a defensive.
Let's go to Trevor in Humboldt. He wants to talk about Brett Lowther. Go ahead. You're on the A&W Sports Cage Radio Roundtable.
Hey, guys. Just want to kind of, like, touch on the point that Guy Loss made there. Like, when you get – when like, if you're on special teams, can you make yourself eligible like you do on offense, or can you not do that? Like with him making that catch – can, like, 91 making that catch, can he actually make himself eligible on that play, or can you not do that on a special teams player or just on offense?
That's a great question.
No, like, he's got an eligible number. He's like, got, you figure, right, if he's lined up as an end or a wide receiver, as it were, in that,
right,
spot, he should be eligible.
He should be okay, but, yeah.
He could have been eligible?
Well, it wasn't a pass to an ineligible player. They had too many guys blocking downfield, mm-hmm, before the catch.
Oh,
you can't,
okay.
You can't, yeah, have Chris Best and a bunch of linemen going downfield blocking before the,
yeah,
catch.
Way
is
to go, Chris.
I only got called me once. We did every single zone read, but I only got, ever got called
really
me
your
once.
Fault, Chris. In the 75 years that you played.
No, but seriously. Yeah. Why hasn't Brett Lowther not been kicking in this league longer than this? Like, the guy's money.
It's an unbelievable story. It's a great. It's kind of like Macbeth, quarterback in Toronto. He's 30 years old. He's finally a starter in this league.
Wow.
And doing okay at times.
Like, he is money.
Yeah, he is money, and it's great. I mean, he's a guy that bounced around. He was here. Mm-hmm. This is his third time at Saskatchewan.
Really?
Okay.
I didn't know that.
Three times. He was with us then?
This is a question I talked to my family about tonight, and my friends.
Yeah.
Like, who do you say Tyler Carpinia ends up with next year?
Oh, God, who knows? Probably Toronto.
I want to hear predictions.
Toronto
or Hamilton, because he's a Hamilton boy.
He'll end up in Toronto because their kicking is
Hamilton.
Terrible. Yeah, mm-hmm. I say Toronto. His kicking's terrible.
Agreed.
Or maybe Montreal, because Boris Beattie, they're looking for some reason, but
Hamilton,
he's not good.
Too.
What's that? You say Hamilton?
He's a Hamilton boy. He's a McMaster kid.
Well, there's Toronto. Hamilton needs to
kick. Can we put a bottle of Weiser's on this? Or
no, we can't. There, Trevor, thanks. I thought you gave up drinking, Trevor. Hey, thanks. Thanks for listening, buddy. We appreciate it. Let's take one more call before we take a break. Let's go on the Great Plains Realty Hotline to Doreen and Regina. Go ahead, Doreen.
Yes. Regarding the guy that called in from Buffalo, he can get the games in Buffalo. My son lives there, and he can get Toronto games. He can watch the Riders in Toronto, in Hamilton, and in Montreal.
Oh, wow.
I'm not sure about Ottawa. Mm-hmm. But on the other three southern cities, he gets the games.
Well, I'll mention that to him because he always contacts me on Facebook. But I think maybe he referred to the fact, too, he works a lot during the Rider games, too, so he can only watch a couple of the games. So
We're on ESPN2 a lot before the college football and, like, real NFL start.
Gotcha.
But, like, once that those seasons start, we're bumped.
All right, Doreen, thanks for the call. We appreciate it, okay?
Okay.
The one thing that's we talked about in the pregame show, which I really like today, and Paul will echo this, I'm sure, is they're playing three games on Saturday to get away from the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
I like that idea. But I said they need to capitalize and have a football day in Canada. We're like, you know, they have a football hockey day in Canada, and they have, like, different stories from different communities. Why don't they do that? They got to capitalize on that.
They should. I think we're stronger from an audience standpoint than we ever have been, and it's different things like that, I think, that are going to – once again, try to put us on a map with the NHLs, and you know.
And we have presence in Ottawa now too. So that always helps with the politicians if you're much more visible.
Right.
We've had those practices in the Parliament there. You know,
More of your calls about the game. But let's talk about let's see if we can't put our heads together and solve the CFL crisis once and for all in Toronto. We need to figure out what's going on there. When we come back, we'll talk about all that and more. We still got lots of prizes to give away. 936-6262 in town, toll free out of town 1-866-767-0620. Riders 30 and the Argos 29 on the Rough Riders Radio Network. Well, Ballsy's the host, but the experts are Paul Waldo, three-time Grey Cup champ, and Chris Best, two-time Grey Cup champ. We're fielding your calls, 936-6262 in town. Toll-free out of town, 1-866-767-0620. Still got the Suds gift card to give away for Suds Car Wash. We've got the gift card to Taco Del Mar. And if you know the Weiser's players of the game is picked by Rod and Luke, we have those as well. Let's go to Calvin on the Great Plains Realty Hotline. Calvin in Yorkton, go ahead.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Good. Calvin, how are you, bud?
Not too bad. Enjoyed the game. A couple things. First thing I want to say, trap game got brought up tonight. I got to be honest with you. I think tonight was actually our trap game, and we got actually won. Because you think about it, we went into Toronto against a 3-8 team with a quarterback that's, you could tell the boys weren't into the game tonight too much, and we still came away with the win. So I think next week we should be just fine.
You really thought, Calvin, the guys weren't into the game? I thought at the start the guys dominated the game for the most part.
They're more in this week than last week.
They had a slip up early, but then they came out with a thick pen touchdown run and then the pass to Jordan Williams-Lambert. I thought, okay, we're rolling here.
I thought the defense slept off a little bit with the offense starting so warm.
Yeah, well, that's interesting.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, even with the offensive line, like if the first half of the game, Toronto was putting pressure on us, and it was kind of a sieve.
I agree, actually, to be honest with you.
What else you got, Calvin?
What I did want to mention, though, Ballsy, is you mentioned about using fig pen more.
Yep.
I understand what you're saying, but isn't that kind of like using your secret weapon too much to the point where people are going to
Oh my God! Nothing.
We still do a little bit more than we are.
Well, no. I'll tell you one thing there, Calvin. I'm not diminishing what you said, but coaches live in their office 18 hours a day. They've seen Thigpen run for 80 against Hamilton. They've seen him run for 82 here, and he had a 97-yard kickoff return for a touchdown. Plus, he's played in the NFL. He's not a secret. They know who Marcus Thigpen is.
Oh no! I use the term secret weapon loosely. What I'm saying though is, at the age of 32, and yes, you mentioned you said he's 32, he looks like he runs like he's 22. The thing is, though, at 32, the more times you use him, the better chance you have that there's an injury, something happens, and then we don't have him later on when we need him.
Well, I would agree with you if he was at least touching the ball, 10, 12, 13 times a game. Because, I mean, we're not asking to give him the ball 25, 30 times a game. Mm-hmm. But the guy is touching the ball twice a game, and he's scoring touchdowns.
Agreed. Should he get it more? But maybe not as much as... And maybe I misunderstood when you were saying give him the four a lot.
Well, I'm not saying Calvin that we can give a 32-year-old the ball 14 times a game. But what I'm saying is this: there's no in a team that doesn't have a lot of home run hitters or unknown home run hitters right now. Okay, because Williams-Lambert's just learning his craft right now. They're all learning. Naaman Roosevelt is not a guy that can lift the lid on a defense. Yeah. Naaman Roosevelt isn't running away from anybody anymore.
He's a short term immediate guy.
Yeah. You gotta have Marcus Thigpen on the field 80% of the time, absolutely, at least to give the allure, make them respect you.
Yep.
That's what we need.
No, I'll agree with you. It was nice to see the boys stretch the field a little bit.
Yeah,
because those 10-yard passes, it's hard to get a run game going if you continually keep it from 10 to 15 yards from your scrimmage line. So
yeah, thanks for the call, Calvin. And you know what? Hang on the phone. I got a Suds gift card for you too. Okay,
perfect. Thanks, guys.
Thanks,
bud.
Appreciate that, man. Yeah, for Suds, they got the premier car wash here in town. You want to check out Suds here? I believe it's on Winnipeg Street, if I'm not mistaken. I've been there a couple of times, and it's a great place. So yeah, congratulations to Calvin in Yorkton. You have picked yourself up the Suds car wash, and I want to give them their just due here. Brought to you by Suds Full Service Car Wash. Experience the Suds car wash difference. They're Regina's premier full service car wash, doing great work. Okay, so let's chat a little bit about I want to talk first a bit about offensive line play, Chris, and I want to ask you something. How do three people rushing get past five offensive linemen? We saw that on a couple plays. How do you that's got to be an embarrassment as an offensive line to have a three-man rush get to a quarterback when they're not bringing extra guys and there's five guys blocking. How does that work?
It really is, because you usually get two double teams and then the running back will chip the other guy. So it's essentially three double teams. So, yeah, if it does happen, it is super embarrassing. But there's guys like Willie Jefferson and like Charleston Hughes even more who kind of have that veteran guile. They'll kind of, the offensive linemen, they don't know where the quarterback is behind them. They're just kind of guessing based on what the D-line is doing. So like if you kind of a smart D-lineman like those two will kind of feint a guy and act like they're going to go in a certain direction. I saw Charles do it several times tonight, kind of act like something else was happening, and the O-lineman gets super aggressive, but actually behind him, he basically exposed his quarterback because he didn't know what was going on behind him. So that's kind of how it happens. It's still super embarrassing, but, I mean, that's these guys get paid for a reason, man. There's some good D linemen out there, especially those two. So we're lucky to have them. They can get there on that three-man rush.
Sometimes we get wrapped up into stats and they lie too much.
Mm-hmm.
For 8 consecutive games, Charleston Hughes had a sack.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's gone 3 games without a sack. He's got 13 in his season so far.
Which is still great for a whole season.
It is great for a whole season. Are we concerned that the 34-year-old's getting sea legs now?
I don't think so. I mean, he was just, that pace was impossible for him to keep up. Yeah. Like, he was playing out of his mind, and he's still affecting the game. Like, you know, sacks are great. Sacks are a nice stat, but just making a quarterback uncomfortable, that means the D-line is doing his job. If you get him off his spot, you make him move his eyes so he's not looking downfield. Like, the D-line is doing his job, and, like, I think he's still accomplishing all that. Obviously, Willie Jefferson's kind of turned it on these last couple games, and maybe Willie got a couple of sacks that Charleston was going to get, so I'm not worried. Obviously, if he's our player of the game, he's still playing pretty well, so I'm not.
What are your thoughts?
I mean, that's a pretty good point. I think
he was our defensive game star, so yeah.
Yeah, and he was on pace for what?
Like, 26 and a half, 27 sacks.
30
yeah.
sacks.
I mean, straight hand.
There's a reason it has.
Well, James Quick Parker, the BC Lions.
He was close to that.
He had 26 and a half sacks in a season. That's a CFL record.
So, I mean, once again, as long as he's still being disruptive and teams have to account for him, or, you know, they'll have to, you know, game plan for him specifically, you know, bring extra protection, you know, bring it back and chip, then, you know, like I said, he's doing more than what's expected from him.
So. All right. Also wanted to talk about a couple linebackers for the Rough Riders. You got Sam Hurl. Now, Sam Hurl is a good guy. I love Sam Hurl. Great person.
Old roomie.
And a good special teamer. But he does struggle in space, doesn't he?
Yeah, I just think you look at his body type, and especially backs here in the Canadian Football League, you know, you'll get – little guys, I don't even know who 35 was that was running the ball for Toronto.
New guy, Brooks, I think.
You know, you get even guys like William Powell or, you know, Martise Jackson, like these little scat back kind of guys.
Thick Ben.
There you go. And it's tough to cover guys like that because, I mean, they're almost natural, like, route running guys that are incredible in space. And so I think, obviously, that's not his strong suit. And I think that's where he struggles. Obviously, he's playing in
space. I think he's decent at that, but he's not elite.
Well, he's not, yeah.
But where he struggles, Cameron Judge has picked up the slack. I thought he's developed this year, you know, had an injury plague season last year and then a little bit of a Twitter off the rails there. But he seems to be finding his game now.
Yeah, he seems to kind of be the cover linebacker. They bring him in at that weak side spot when they sub Sam out, and that's kind of the cover package, it seems like, when they do the three down linemen. So, yeah, he's an athlete. He's fast out there. There's a reason he was such a high draft pick, and he's still making some rookie mistakes here and there, but I think he's going to grow into be a good player in this league.
Let me ask you guys a question before we get to John. Let's get to John first, then I'll ask you guys a question. Respect the callers. Let's go to the Great Plains Realty Hotline. Say hi to John in Saskatoon. Go ahead, John.
How's it going, guys?
Good, John. Good. What's up, man?
Yeah, I'm just wondering what's the theory behind that. Okay, we won the coin toss, and we deferred to the second half, but like, what's their meaning for Toronto getting the ball on the kickoff at the beginning of the first half and the second half? What's the theory behind that?
Sometimes in close games, you're more worried about the wind in the fourth quarter because you think you're going to have a close game. You want to have the wind at your back in the fourth quarter to do things like make that Brett Lowther kick easier and stuff like that. So I
suppose that's the reason.
That's exactly why they did it.
And I never could understand why that was.
I never liked it either. I want more possessions, but it worked out here. Obviously, Lowther made that kick and their guy didn't. So, that's why.
Well, that's good news. I got another. It's kind of a funny comment. I talked to some lot of faithful Rider fans are at the games and stuff, and that says, boy, they're a terrible team. Sure, their offense hasn't been clicking and stuff, but I mean, they're good enough to win. But maybe this is the start of their offense starting to kick into high gear slowly but surely, hopefully. You know.
Well, I mean, let's not get too carried away. Right. Toronto had the eighth ranked. They've given up the second most. They're ranked eighth in terms of opposition yards at like 460 some yards a game they're giving up. So they actually didn't give up that much to the Riders. Riders gave up that.
And think about this, guys. Food for thought here. Five of the six defensive backs in that secondary are all rookies.
Yeah. That's right. Yell was their only veteran guy.
That, to me, right there, I mean, is insanity. Mm. It's insanity. Five out of six.
In a passing league.
I mean, you're set up. You're set up to fail. To be quite
hey, can we trade one of our DBs for Daron Carter? Anyway,
I'm surprised they didn't put him on the other side of the football.
Yeah, they could have. He's got more experience than some of those guys.
All of them.
Yeah, thanks for the call, John. We appreciate that. Thanks, man.
Yeah,
hey, I want to ask you guys this question before we go. We'll get the Kolaros thoughts on the other side of the break. So, Medeiros is his name, right? The field goal kicker for Toronto. Medeiros kicks a field goal and misses.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Riders go down and nail a field goal and take the lead. So Medeiros, when he missed the field goal, got a single point. Come down and kick the 56-yard field goal to take the lead. He comes down and misses the 51-yarder into the wind. If he makes that field goal, they win the game because he got a rouge on a rewarding failure. I've always hated this about the Canadian game. I know a lot of people love the rouge and all this stuff because it could be
it's
quirky Canadian thing. But to me, think about this.
That's a great point.
Think about this. Let's go back to one of the greatest games in the greatest Grey Cup that's ever been played. The 89 Grey Cup between the Riders and the Hamilton Tiger Cats. 43-40 Riders win it on the Dave Ridgway 35-yard field goal. Mm-hmm. Now, Robo Kicker's probably not missing that field goal. But if he does, and it goes through the back of the end zone, because it probably would have, we win the greatest game ever on a single point. After a great game back and forth, we reward a guy because of failure. To me, it's time to get rid of that. Do you not agree?
That's a great point. Where in life can you do that? It just doesn't make sense. And I get it. We're trying to be the anomaly. It's our sport. But there's different ways. I mean, we only have three downs instead of four. Like that to me is enough.
Bestie always goes back from the edge, and Bestie played in American football. So what do you think of the Rouge? Do you like it? You seem like you like it.
I mean, I grew up playing with the Rouge, and I did play American football in college. But like, I grew up with the Rouge. It's a definitely Canadian thing, and I kind of like some of the interesting, like strategic things it brings. You know, like every once in a while, offense we practice trying to kick to the end zone, like secure that single point. You know, like. It's a different aspect of the game than just kicking field goals and touchdowns all the time. Leads to some funny scores we see. So I don't know. I don't dislike the Rouge. I mean, I remember once, I think it was 2010, we actually tried to punt it through the end zone to win a game with our big who's our big leg punter? I think Eddie Johnson was hurt. It was one of our other guys, and we tried to kick it through the end zone to win a game. It backfired on us. But just the fact that we could even think about that, it was I don't know. It brings some interesting.
I mean, it helped one of my favorite football teams out, because John Ryan back in the day in 2000 when the Rams were on their Vanier Cup run, the only one they've been to. He kicked one through the back of the end zone of McMahon Stadium in Calgary. I remember Bernie Schmidt saying to him, can you boot this through? Because if you can't boot this through, you're not getting on the bus. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Ryan booted it right through. And so, you know what I mean? Like, it's one of those things where – but I find it – the other thing I hate, and I watched it last night in the Huskies-Rams game, these refs have a tough enough time calling penalties as it is, okay? Mm-hmm. The no yards is a garbage rule. I think it's – if the guy catches the ball in the air and people are around him, it should be a 15-yard penalty. I agree with that, okay? But if the ball hits the ground, no yards is off. Because when is a guy – he has to – like the NFL, they give him at least a yard to pick it up. He has to get the opportunity to pick it up. But we all stand around and we watch the thing down there, and then the guy's – it's within the halo.
It's a dead play. I mean,
How many times other than Gizmo does a guy pick up the ball and run it for a touchdown? Never.
Yeah, No, I agree with two for two tonight, Balsy. I agree with you because I even think it just slows the game down, and it slows the game down, does it? It takes the energy out of it, I think.
Once again, looking by Bestie's sour milk look on his face, he doesn't like that idea either. Yeah. I like that. I like the fact you don't always agree with me. Waldo doesn't either, but I like the fact.
I don't know. I don't necessarily like the fair catch rule. I think that's probably more of it. Like, I like the halo and the no yards much more than the fair catch.
That
just seems...
Okay, that's fair.
So, like, you always kind of get a little bit of return, you know? Right. Like, it's a little more exciting than just kind of like...
But don't get me wrong. I'm saying if you catch the ball in the air...
Yeah, it's a 15-yarder.
It's a 15-yarder. I'm still okay with that. But
you'll never get any return at all. That 5-yard, that dribbler, you know, like, he's going to pick it up. He's going to try and do something. Yeah. Something's going to try and happen there. You never know. Whereas, if the ball's dead, like in American college, you know, no one touches the ball and the ball's just it's down here. Yeah. It's a pretty boring play.
Like my son said, I was telling you off the air, my son said, why wouldn't guys always try to catch the ball on the fly? He says when he's playing for Riffle, I'm going to run in and catch the ball on the fly because that, even if I drop it, they get a 15-yard penalty.
Sure. Yep.
So I might as well attack the ball. I don't know why guys don't attack the ball.
Man.
So it's even if you fumble it. Anyways, we're going to take a break. We'll get to Darren, Ken, and you. Want to know what your thoughts were on Zach Kolaros. Did you think he played a great game? Was it average? What do you think of our quarterbacking situation going forward? The Rough Riders win 30-29 over the Toronto Argonauts. You're listening to the Rough Riders Radio Network. Riders 38, Argonauts Riders 30, pardon me, Argonauts 29, as the Riders improved to 8-5 on the season, sole possession of second place in the CFL's West. Taking your calls here on the A&W Sports Cage Radio Roundtable and our hotline brought to you by our friends there at Great Plains Realty. I'm Michael Ball along with Paul Waldo and Chris Best. Let's go to Darren in Regina. Go ahead, Darren. You're on the A&W Sports Cage Radio Roundtable.
Hi, guys. How are you doing today?
Good, Darren. How are you, bud?
Oh, pretty good.
Good.
Yeah, I have 2 points I wanted to make. The first one was I thought we should have challenged that play just before the first half ended. The ball wasn't under control when Toronto went out of bounds.
Well,
we can't
challenge it inside the 3-minute warning. It's the league has to challenge, yeah. Like the player, the teams can't challenge it. So the league failed us there. They're supposed to challenge that before Toronto ran another play. But yeah, I mean, something should have happened. You're right. Like that wasn't a catch,
that
and
cost
they got
the game, yeah.
Yeah, that could have cost the game, absolutely.
And somebody in Toronto's got to be watching that, telling the official down in his ear, "Hey, don't let the play happen right away. We got to figure this out."
Yeah, I agree 100%. My second point was, I was just wondering why Chris Jones didn't decide to take the opening kickoff in the third quarter because the wind was only a 5-kilometer wind.
As it turned out, though, it turned out to be it worked up more. So that's why. That's why it worked out in his favor. Let's put it that way. I'm not sure why he didn't take it, but it ended up working in his favor.
Yeah, and the pick six that we saw, I think was the ball was just slightly thrown behind the receiver there, and I think it was just an unfortunate situation on the pick six. It wasn't a badly thrown ball, and it really wasn't Roosevelt's fault. I thought the DB made a pretty good play there for that pick six.
Anyway, he made a good play, but I'm going to respectfully disagree with you, Darren. It wasn't a great ball because he threw it to the wrong side. If you're throwing an out, you got to throw it to the out, not the in. That's kind of an elementary throw. He's got to make that throw, yeah. Because it's such a split second,
yeah,
too.
And it's such a pick six if he throws it wrong.
Yeah, for sure. Easy. And I don't know how, in fairness to what Darren was saying, I don't know how good a pattern that was from Naaman Roosevelt, only because I think he was hobbled with his leg by then. I don't think he really put his foot in the ground like he normally does.
And Naaman's more of a, he's like a speed cut guy.
Yeah.
Kind of rounds a lot of his routes off. Not to obviously take anything away from his route running. So, you know, if you're a guy like that and you're injured, I mean, you just got to make sure when you're throwing that ball that it's away.
Yeah. Hey, Darren, hang on the phone. We got a Taco Del Mar gift card for you, okay?
Okay.
Thanks for listening. I appreciate it. Yeah, now with catering to freshen up any party, get coastal Mexican cuisine from Taco Del Mar, Rochdale, and Eastgate. Let's go to Ken in Saskatoon. Go ahead, Ken. You're on the A&W Sports Cage Radio Roundtable.
Good evening, gentlemen. In answer to your question about Kolaris' performance tonight,
yeah,
it was okay. I think it was more Toronto's defense, poor defense that made us look good. To be honest with you, you know, they shot themselves in the foot right from the opening drive there where, you know, we miss a field goal. They jump offside. It turns into a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I appreciate
things
it.
Like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, and we tried to give the game away right at the end. You know, Kolaris made that field goal attempt much farther, you know, with the intentional grounding call, stuff like that.
Mm.
So it was a win, but they weren't a great team, I don't think. But you know, we got the job done. I thought the defense kind of took the second half off. It seemed like they were moving the ball, Toronto, quite well in the second half.
They were, yeah. You can just tell by James Wilder.
Do you guys know when Hawley's coming back?
Hawley, no, he's still got another two games. He'll be the full six game. I was talking to Trevor Len, one of the trainers, and it'll be the full six game. So he's got another couple of games to go.
Yeah, and that's if he can actually go 100% by the time he's back. You know, he might be another week or two.
He might be okay by the playoffs, but Caleb Hawley hasn't had a great year either. He's been very...
I don't even think it matters, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
It's just,
The Riders were in control most of the game, but they can't kill the team off at the end. It just seems like it always comes down to one of these last-minute drives. And
certainly does.
You know, it was a win, and it would have been sickening if they would have lost on that last play of the last field goal. So take what you can get and go to Montreal. Are they staying down east?
Nope, they're
week?
Coming home, and that's a good job, Ken. I'm going to lead. That leads us into talking points. I appreciate the call, okay, Ken?
You bet.
Thank you, man. Yeah, so they're not staying down there. Chris, is that good?
Every
team charges.
Everything charges, yeah. So they're already on a plane. They're already flying home. So, I mean, it's nice to come home. It's nice to sleep in your own bed for sure. And they play next Sunday, so it's not like it's a short week.
Right.
I'm sure if they played Thursday, they probably would stay over, even with the charter ability to charter. But, I mean, I don't know. It is kind of nice. Like, it's good for team building and everything when you kind of stay out east. You know, you get a little more per diem, which is always nice as a player.
Great.
But, you know, some guys always do have a little too much fun when you're on the road. That kind of ruins it for everybody. Mm-hmm. So
Happened to our one Taj Smith back in the day.
I'm split. I really enjoy the very few times we got to stay over. Like, I thought it was a lot of fun to hang out with my teammates that much. But I know the coaches don't like it at all. And with the ability to charter, it kind of doesn't make much sense these
days.
And,
Paul, they got state-of-the-art facilities here, which they wouldn't have out east.
That's the thing when you're going to be cold tubbing in your bathtub in a hotel room. Like, it's just to me, it just wouldn't make sense. And once again, you take away any type of liability or any type of risk, people are at home, they can, you just continue with a regular work week, and that's what you want. I mean, it's imperative, I think, you know, later in the season, because you're really trying to make sure that longevity of health, and that you know you guys are going to continue to be able to play ball in the stretch. Early in the season, you're coming off a training camp. You want to get away and you want to go practice at the Parliament and you want to do things like that. But I think it ends up becoming more serious.
You know, we've kind of over the last little bit bitched about the schedule, right? Remember last year, Ottawa had 4 games in 21 days.
That was ridiculous.
Ridiculous. Yeah. But here, the team's got an extra bye, so three byes. I think this was Toronto's third bye. They had a 3-game winning streak coming out of bye, so the Riders knock them off there. The schedule set up pretty favorably for the Rough Riders. I think you'd have to be pretty happy with how it's set up for the Riders. I mean, you played here. Now you get to come home. It's not like it's a short week. Like you guys said, they get an extra day, actually, because the game's not till next Sunday. Yep. So it's a bit of a – but although that Sunday game's an early morning game, which really sucks.
Yeah, it is. But they'll go over before. Like they'll be practicing either Friday or Saturday. They'll go over there and kind of start being acclimatized. I still never enjoyed those early morning Sunday.
Will they be practicing early in the morning here, earlier in the morning?
No,
the
you can't change your practice time. It's set by the CFLPA.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so they're going to start practicing 9 o'clock every day, just like normal. They can try, but probably not going to do anything. They're just going to have to adjust on Friday and Saturday.
Could you
get ready for the game on Sunday?
Can you get – remember last year the Oilers coach Todd McClellan, they were supposed to have an NHLPA mandated day off. It was not last year, it was the year before when they crapped the bed against Buffalo, 5-0 lost on home ice, and they practiced the next day and waived their – like the team said, no, we'll come and practice, and waived the NHLPA mandatory day off, okay? And it kind of went away because the team agreed to it. Could you say to the guys, listen, we want to practice early this week and get them to waive it? Like, could you ever do that? Could you work around
that? We've done that before. Like, it has to be, like, you have to let the team know in advance. And, like, if someone did complain about it, you have to kind of address his complaint. You know, but it never came up. I'm trying to think. It happened at least once or twice. We had to kind of change things around because of flights or because of stuff like that. This is probably before charters. So as long as everyone's on board, you know, and no one really complains and the team is being reasonable about it, like, you know, you can do it. But, like, the player association is there for a reason. They are trying to protect the players, so they got to make sure the team's not trying to pull one over on the players.
Because that does screw you up. When you're used to practice, like, that's a 10 o'clock football game you're playing.
Yeah, it sucks.
Actually, sorry, the kickoff is 11 o'clock there, 11 o'clock here, 1 o'clock there. Like, you're playing 11 o'clock.
Yeah, but that
morning.
Means you're at the stadium at 8 o'clock in the morning. You have to get up and eat and everything. Like, it's
so that's not going to be a pushover game either.
They are the worst.
Yep.
I hated them.
I
was out west, even when I was playing out east, I hated them. Because, I mean, you don't have, you know, like the later games, the evening games, the night games, you have a full day where your body, you can hydrate your body, rejuvenate your body, and you can eat 3 meals. And you could, those, I just hated them. It'll be a bit of a challenge, I think, to be honest with you.
Johnny Manziel, what do you think?
Oh, poor Johnny. I don't blame it at all on him. I don't put it all on him, but he made some pretty boneheaded mistakes last night, and like he's trying to do too much.
Are you kidding me? There's a rumor they're thinking of signing him to a big extension.
No.
Who are they gonna pay?
Like $400,000 money.
No, that is not. Don't tell me that. I hope that
that's
is
the talk.
You know what, Kavis Reed wouldn't surprise me.
That's the talk.
That would be the most outland. I mean, that is just, I can't even. That'd be the craziest thing I think I would have ever witnessed in this league if that. Actually, it's $400,000.
It's funny. Baker Mayfield throws them back to victory there, and they win the game. Mm-hmm. And there was a billboard. Somebody bought a billboard out front of Cleveland Stadium that said, "Johnny Manziel threw 4 interceptions in his CFL debut. Imagine what could have been." That's what somebody put on the billboard. That's funny. Who spends the money for that? But that is funny. Anyway, let's go to Ian on the Great Plains Realty Hotline. Ian in New Jersey, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to make a few comments about Kuaris. Like, I think today he played a lot better, and I think he had a lot more on the ball. What it seemed to me in previous games, and I wouldn't mind getting your observation on it, is that it seemed like he wasn't really stepping into his throw. Like, his throwing off seemed to be a little off balance. Like, he really wasn't really stepping into it. Didn't have a lot of zip on the ball, and he was under-throwing quite a bit, which I noticed tonight is that he did go do some deep corner routes, mm-hmm. and he did get the ball there.
Yeah, you know, that's a very good point. On the, I think it was the second touchdown of Jordan Williams-Lambert that made it 24-11. He made three great throws, and I think one of his best throws of the whole year, I agree with Glenn Suter, mm-hmm. was the throw over the out to Naaman that was over the defender. He dropped it right in the cherry bucket, right?
Yep.
I thought it was a great throw, and he made a couple good throws in that drive. So it wasn't necessarily the rookies that he was going against. It's the throws that he made that were good.
I mean, he might be a little beat up. It's possible he's not stepping to his throws, possibly because of an injury. Like, he's taken some hits this year. We've seen him. So who knows? But or maybe just, like, forgetting your fundamentals. Sometimes coach has to sit you down and be like, just watch yourself, you know?
Yeah.
Because he had both an MCL and an ACL on his right leg, mm-hmm. or his right knee. I'm just wondering, does he wear a brace on his right? Because I think it might
has
be his
before,
platform.
But I'm not sure.
The first little while. He's probably taken it off by now, I imagine. Yeah. Most skill position players don't like wearing those any longer than they have to because they're pretty bulky and uncomfortable.
Yeah. And I guess the last thing is, I guess Calgary's in the playoffs now, aren't
yeah.
they?
Yeah, clinched the playoff
think
spot.
The two Eastern teams can, like, they got the crossover wrap.
Yeah.
Don't they?
Hey, we're going to talk about Calgary in a second. Thanks, Ian. We appreciate the phone call, okay?
Okay,
still got our Wisers Players of the Game package to give away from Wisers. If you knew the Players of the Game picked by Rod and Luke, and we've already talked about both these guys extensively tonight, you can call us 936-6262 in town, toll-free out of town, 1-866-767-0620. Fellas, are the Argos dead in Toronto? Are they dead in Toronto? Because I see people on Twitter going, well, they got to win consistently. They won the friggin' Grey Cup last year. They won the Grey Cup last year. They have one of the all-time best quarterbacks ever to play, who's not playing this year, obviously, because he got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
We're in a – and don't – save me the Toronto preseason the Maple Leafs preseason malarkey.
No,
the Jays are terrible. No. FC's kind of having a down year. Raptors might be better. But let me – like, if they can't – 14,000 is their second biggest crowd. That's an embarrassment.
Mm-hmm. Like, that's – yeah, it's not good. They need to – they definitely rethink things in that front office there. And they have a talented front office now, obviously. They share everything with the
MLSE.
Yeah, with MLSE and the Maple Leafs, you know? So it's all, like, they got some talented people out there. They really need to kind of put their heads together and figure something out because it's just not working for them.
What's Robert Wettenall like as an owner in Montreal?
He's an interesting gentleman.
Is he hands-on?
No, I mean, I remember a few things about him vividly. One of them would be is he'd just kind of walk in on game day and he'd be smoking a cigar in the dressing room. And he's just like an old school, I think he was very hands-on on the back end of things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not around the players, obviously. And you knew he was the guy that made a lot of decisions. And it's easy when you're winning then. You know, when you're going to three straight Grey Cups, I mean.
Tressman, Pop, and Calvillo make things easy. Cahoon,
make it really easy.
Pringle.
That's, you know, so you, I mean, 8 Grey Cups in 10 years, you know, you let the people underneath you do what you do, and that's what it is. So
does he have a passion for the game? I'm going.
Well,
in
he's an old man. I mean, he's got to be almost close to 75,
no,
80.
I
right?
credit guys so, like him and David Brayley for saving this league because they're putting money
right?
and they're not getting rich
for
being
sure.
owners in this league.
Not,
okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
So you got to give him credit. And I never like guys that bang on David Brayley. This guy owned two teams at once in this league.
Time.
Yeah.
So they cut him down. All he's a crotchety guy. You know what? He's owned two teams at the same time in this league. So give me a break. But I do want to say this. In Toronto, let me go this way. Bob Young, the Oscar Wee Wee guy, resigned.
Mm-hmm.
The big fan who led the cheers.
Yep.
Bob Young last week in Hamilton, as we watched as Tiger Cats playing BC, leading 14-11 midway through the third quarter. Bob Young, the owner, did that. He was in the crowd
That's
being
amazing.
The cheerleader for the whole game.
That's amazing.
That's passionate.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he definitely cares about his team.
Jeff Hunt and his ownership group in Ottawa, they've done things right. They're passionate.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay?
I heard great things
They're passionate.
Them.
Winnipeg's a community-owned team. They come if the team wins. They're kind of bipolar,
right.
but they're generally
they're there, though.
They're generally mm-hmm. there.
Yeah.
Edmonton, they're there big time. They're with the Riders. Calgary, they're bored. And let's be honest. It's show me what you can do when you get to the Grey Cup.
Right.
Because even the playoffs won't cut it. And let's be honest, Chris Best. That's a gross stadium to go to now. It's cement. There's
it's
no.
It's the exact same stadium I went to as a 10-year-old boy,
terrible.
You know, and they've done literally nothing to it, you know.
Yeah.
It
used
to be
so
old Hamilton. Like, you know, not to that extreme, but I mean.
It now is.
Thing.
It's now that stadium.
It is that
now
stadium.
That stadium. Yeah. And it's sad because a team as good as the Calgary Stampeders deserves a stadium
better.
Like the one we have.
Deserves better.
Right? So, but we're okay in these markets, and I think we'll always be okay in those markets.
Yeah.
But in BC, Toronto, and Montreal, your three biggest markets, you have the least passionate owners. The Maple MLSE doesn't really do much for the Argos. They don't really care. It's kind of an afterthought.
Mm-hmm.
BC Lions have an old owner, David Brayley, who's thinking of selling the team, but he just can't find the right buyer. And in Montreal, they've got an old owner that whose son is hiring wrong people, and he's not passionate. So my thing is, if you don't care about your product, how's anybody else going to care about your product? And in the most competitive markets.
You're exactly right, especially when the teams are not being successful and they can't drive and run themselves. And even, you know, going back to Bob Whitnall, they're just handed off to his kid. I mean, Bob Whitnall's got more money than anybody could ever ask for. I mean, it's just, I don't know. It's sad to see, and you fear for the league, right?
You fear
for the league. I mean, what happens if Toronto's not around anymore? You know, and you always figure, you know, them joining obviously with the MLS club there, and you figured, okay, this is going to be great. They're going to package different sporting events together, and I mean, you win the Grey Cup.
Mm-hmm. They won the Grey Cup.
There's nothing. I mean, they at the pinnacle. There's nothing more that they can do on field. And yeah, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's disappointing.
It's very disappointing. Okay, let's take a couple more calls. Wally and Regina on the Great Plains Realty Hotline. Wally, you know the Stars?
Pardon me?
You know the Game Stars, Wally?
Yes, I do.
Who are they?
Charlton Hughes on defense and Brent Lowther on offense.
Very good, man. So we're going to give you that Weiser's prize pack, but you got something to say about the game?
Well, I do, but I was just chuckling at your comment about Calgary being bored because I remember... A number of years ago, I was just a kid, but my uncle had season tickets in Edmonton, and going to a game there. And back when they were winning all those Grey Cups, the fans would get bored with ho-hum, another Edmonton win, and they'd start to cheer for the opposition. Believe it or not, that really happened.
Yeah, maybe they are getting bored.
Yeah.
I mean, so Calgary's been good for 20 some years now, except for a couple of years in the mid 2000s.
Yeah, they just kind of did it to get into the game because it's, you know, we want to be entertained, and the, you know, Eskimos just handled everybody. But my question is the following. I remember the game against Toronto last year in the Eastern Final, and when we rushed, Ricky Ray was off his game. When we just sent three guys, well, I think we only sent three when they completed that third down gamble, and we know the rest. So I was wondering what dictates the kind of defense. I mean, I know you're always trying to outsmart the offense, but why is Jones the last couple games dropped back so many guys and seems to be rushing only three and giving quarterbacks, it just seems, enough time to kind of complete passes and almost today pull out a win for
Toronto. I don't know. Yeah, Paul, you answer that.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it is, you know, you want to talk about a chess match, and a lot of it is just kind of flow in the feel of the game. And it's just human nature. It's almost sometimes complacent, right? When you're winning a whole lot, you know, you got a lot of points on the board, you just want to be conservative, you know? And it's just kind of one of those things where you can't really pinpoint, you know, you get a flow for the game and you see how things are going, and it changes play by play, right? It's a hard to kind of pinpoint, and some guys have their philosophies. Obviously, like you said, Chris Jones, for the majority of the game rushes three, then decides that he must, on that last drive, send pressure every play.
Yeah, and it worked.
It worked.
So. Yeah. And then you wonder why they don't do it more. Hey, Wally, can you hang on the phone there for us?
Yes, thank you very much.
Awesome, man. Yeah, cool. We got you a special Blend by Weiser's gift pack, Saskatchewan's number one Canadian whiskey, proud partner of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
Just speaking about that, though, like that last drive was cover zero the whole time, which means they're bringing one more defender than they have blockers. So no matter what, there's one free guy coming for the quarterback. And I've seen teams do that. Like, if you live and die by cover zero, you know, like, yes, it works great, but, like, when you get burned bad, you get burned for touchdowns. So, like, it's an effective changeup to say, like, I'm doing cover zero all day long. That is not – it's not a recipe for success. It's part of your toolbox. It's not your whole toolbox.
Okay, can I ask you guys a funny thing here before we take our last caller of the night? So he played for the UFC Dinos. He played for the Montreal Alouettes. He played for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. He's gone by Mike Edom the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
It's not his first day. Now it's Mike Edom.
Wow. After 5 years, I heard them
He has to be called Mike Edom. Why early on in your interview career, and I've interviewed him a number of times, would he not say, sorry, it's Mike Edom? Can you just
He's too
that?
Nervous. He didn't
know. Five
we'll
years? He was, you know, he was an all-star in his rookie year, right?
Yes.
One of the best players. He was the Eastern defensive nominee. I mean, the Alouettes.
One of the top university players in Canada.
Wow.
And he went Mike Edom.
I heard that today, and I wasn't sure if I heard it.
I thought, Gord Miller, you're an idiot. And then Gord Miller goes, like, Gord Miller, you're a hockey guy. Come on, know your stuff. He goes, no, we've asked him, and Mike wants to be called Edom.
I mean, that just
it's
happened
Waldo,
in the NFL.
Right? It's Waldo.
It
right?
is Waldo. Yeah, I would have corrected you a long time ago if it
not,
wasn't.
Not Waldo.
No, I mean, in the NFL, the Cleveland quarterback was Tyrod. I guess his name is actually Tyrod, and he's an NFL quarterback. He's been that way, like a starter for 5-6 years, and he just corrected people.
Have
now,
you ever seen a guy?
So it does happen.
Have you ever seen a guy beg for the blue tent as much as Tyrod Taylor? Tyrod, that other game here on Thursday, he got knocked around and he's down on the ground for the concussion-like symptoms or whatever they're saying. And Ethan goes, even if he doesn't, Ethan's my son. He goes, even if he doesn't have a concussion, Dad, he is begging for the blue tent because he's playing so bad. Everybody's chanting Baker. Yeah. You could just bet he wants that blue tent to go underneath.
Put it over me.
Yeah, put it over me, man.
I've seen guys pull themselves. I know Paul has too. And some guys like, nope, this game's not for me. You know, not today.
Right. Not today. Let's go to Carlene, our last caller of the night on the Great Plains Realty Hotline. Go ahead, Carlene.
Well, I can't believe I'm the last caller. But anyways, jerseys.
Bring it home.
I started the thing about I didn't know whose jerseys.
Yeah.
To buy, right? Because I buy a jersey and they leave.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I buy Duran's and he leaves. So now I'm.
Well, thank you for that.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, thank
so
you.
Now I'm thinking they should be Velcro so I can just change numbers and names.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be good.
So, Carlene, which rider do you want gone from our roster? Who would you like gone from our roster, Carlene?
No one.
Oh, well, I'm thinking that's the jersey you buy. Jersey. That's the jersey you buy.
But. Okay, I was going to buy Naaman Roosevelt, and then at work they said, no, don't buy that.
Buy a young Canadian, like a Cameron Judge or something like that. That'll probably serve you well.
Gagne, Chevrier, something like that.
No. Young, high draft pick Canadian.
Somebody makes a lot of money. That's what you need.
A lot of people, though, now are just going with their names. Like they're going Waldo number one or Paul number one. Like they're
that bugs me just a little bit. I mean, I don't know. I'm old school that way.
I can't put my name on their Belfay because they'd all think I'm
Marcel
Belfay.
Family member.
You're the offensive coordinator. That's awesome, Carl. Hey, thanks for the call.
Okay.
Appreciate that. All right. I want to ask you a couple more things before we get some closing thoughts from you. We're going to take a break here. We got to get to our play of the game, too. First of all, let's go to our play of the game. We'll do that here. It is brought to you by our friends at the Rusty Shovel Landscape Shop. Experts in landscape design, supply, and support. Start your project at therustyshovel.ca. And it is the game-winning kick from Brett Lowther.
56 yards from the right hash. Josh Bartel to give the Riders the lead. He gets it down. Lowther gets it off. Does he have the distance?
Yep.
He's good!
Buckets.
Ah, yeah!
56.
Lowther! And the Riders lead by two.
Yes, so Brett Lowther gives the Rough Riders the victory. Their eighth of the season. Earlier, so we saw the Riders. How did that work again? We saw a missed field goal from Brett Lowther, and Toronto went offside.
Mm-hmm.
And then didn't we see a center move the ball and got a penalty?
Yes, the long snapper kind of did like a hitch motion.
Was that when the Riders were kicking?
No, that's when Toronto was kicking.
Toronto was kicking. Mm. So talk about that, because some fans have always asked me that. So when the guy, either the center, normally Clarkie, or the
long snapper,
he can turn the ball once, can he? Like, he can get into position.
You can turn the ball, but that's like a lateral motion. You can't move the ball up and down. Old centers will move the ball back and forward, and the refs get let them get away with it. But, I mean, a young guy can't get away with that. But what that long snapper did is he kind of did a bit of a hitch motion. And like, you know, the snap has to be one smooth motion, and he kind of, like, hiked it. Like, moved it 3 inches and then followed through with the rest of his motion. And, like, that's – so it's two distinct things he did. And that basically you're looking like you're trying to drive one offside because everyone jumped, everyone moved. You know, it was a really awkward play. So that's what happened. It has to be one smooth motion. And, I mean, he's a professional long snapper. He should be able to do that. So I don't know. Maybe he thought it was on two when it was on one or something. But,
how do you like when the teams line up for 51 and 56-yard field goals as a fat guy going down there trying to cover?
You got to run. I mean, a Dickie lets you know you got to run. Probably it's not as bad because field goal sucks because they're just going to cut those D linemen who are mad at you for stuffing the ball down their throat are just going to tee off on you every time. But 56 will be field goal safe because they think they're going to have to return it. So they're not going to hit you. They're going to try and hold you up and block you.
Yeah.
So That part's nice, but then you gotta some D lineman's gonna hang on you while you're trying to run down and do my best Paul Waldo impersonation running down the field. So you learn those veteran tricks, kind of get a right away from guys.
And what does that Paul Waldo impersonation entail?
You gotta run. You got your lane. Every guy, even though linemen have their lanes, you gotta run and cover your lane.
You gotta be disciplined. It's funny, Bestie, because your thought process lining up for a field goal that long is probably the thought process that I have when I have to tackle James Waldo Jr. coming out in open space. I mean, it's just something that you really don't want to do, but you end up having to do. Yeah.
So let me ask you, do they have a special long field goal team?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
They do. So they bring in a couple linebackers or what?
Yeah, or D linemen. They'll sub the two offensive tackles out. We used to call it Hawkeye. I don't know what to call it now. You'll see them all going on the field.
Yeah, that's
flapping
what it's
like
called.
Birds.
That's what it is.
Hawkeye. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, let's bring the two offensive tackles out and bring in two DNs, and then you bring a couple linebackers in too.
So is that why Jonesy dresses extra D linemen and extra linebackers generally?
No, they used to be starters.
They're body types. Teams. Those are the majority of special teams going to be defensive players, right? So your athletic D-line type and your linebacker body style.
I know. I was on the team for years. I had to wind my way off. It was bad. I was the oldest guy out there. I was like, come on, man. Like, I think it was Dicer. I can't be the oldest guy out on Hawkeye, man. Get one of these young O-linemen to sub me off.
We had a death in the CFL. Mike Labinjo of the Calgary Stampeders. Did you have a chance to play against him?
I played against Labinjo a bunch of times.
Your thoughts?
Mike was you could always see him smiling. Like, he's always like a happy guy, you know. He always seemed like I never really talked with him much, but he always seemed like a decent dude. And
he just got bigger over the years, didn't he? He started as a linebacker
and turned into a nose tackle.
DN and then ended up as a nose tackle. It's like a 6'4" nose tackle, is he?
He really was. And like I don't know I know he died in sleep. I don't know the cause of death. It's sad, and I mean I hope I hope his family gets some closure out of it. I don't know what else to say. It's a hard one.
Yeah.
He was, I think he was a big part of that 2008 Grey Cup team.
Yeah.
That beat us in Montreal, and I remember, obviously, a Canadian kid who had played
Toronto
had some merit in the NFL, right?
And Miami, Indy, Philly, I think. Three
Exactly. You're exactly right. And he was obviously a big Canadian. And they had mentioned something about a couple of big stops that he had in that playoff run that they had against BC or something like that. And I remember that. I mean, he was on the short yardage team too on the offense.
I think he had three sacks or something. It was big.
So yeah, it's a terrible thing. And I think Calgary was home for him. 38 years old.
Yeah, 38 dies in his sleep. So that's just some sad news. When we come back, we're gonna wrap things up with Chris and Paul. You're listening to the Rough Rider A&W Sports Cage Radio Roundtable on the Riders Radio Network. Saskatchewan Rough Riders 30, Toronto Argonauts 29, Riders 8-5, Argonauts dropped to 3-9. We're watching Hamilton taking on the BC Lions right now. It's 17-11 for Hamilton as BC's punting away on the last play of the third quarter. And earlier, Ottawa knocks off Edmonton by a count of 28-15. So you can't figure this league out from time to time. This one's coming all the way back for a touchdown, but there's a blocking infraction, so the Tiger Cats will have this touchdown negated. Boys, I'm going to bring this up to you. This league, bunch of average teams. I think everybody's average. The Riders they've got a great defense, but great defense, good kicking game.
Yeah.
Very average the rest of it.
Yeah, I know. I would agree. I mean, that happens some years. Some years there isn't like a clear, there are two clear powerhouses, one in the East, one in the West. Obviously Calgary was that powerhouse earlier, but injuries are really kind of hamstringing them now. Like, it's better than having a bad league. You know, I'll take an average league over a bad league.
Is this the year at Calgary? Could Calgary overcome? They're so good, but can they overcome Daniels done? Eric Rogers still on the limp. And and of course, Kamar Jordan gone. I know I got Bagel.
That's hard.
Bagleton is doing well.
Yeah.
They've got Lamar Durant, and they've got Breskinen. But can they overcome that?
I mean, they'll play mistake-free football in all three phases. They'll do everything they can to win every game. But at some point, you do need that talent. We saw that in Edmonton last year. You know, they had an amazing run to start the season. They had so many injuries. They overcome, and they hit a point where they just could not overcome the injuries anymore. So this might be it. I mean, that's a lot of horsepower they're losing.
How about you, Paul? It's wide open.
You know what? This is going to sound really weird, but for whatever reason this year, I just think because Calgary has been so stacked for so long and hasn't been able to get it done, that they're just going to find a way and get it done this year. It sounds crazy. I know. You think even, even coming into the year, though, you're like, well, they lose Jerome Messam, they lose Mike McDaniel.
Who's going to beat them at
home? They lose Tommy Campbell, and they lose all these guys. But it's football. You only got to win one game. And once again, guys keep going down. They keep winning. I mean, I still think they're at the top of the hill.
I think this is going to be the year, for the first time ever, that we have a crossover Grey Cup, like where the team crossed over, and it's Winnipeg Blue Bombers.
That comes over?
I think the Winnipeg Blue Bombers will get rolling at the end of the year. That's they've got enough firepower that they get rolling. Weston Dressler's back.
You know what?
Weston Dressler's back.
Marcus Hedrick is back. They're starting to. I like that pick.
I'm not saying they're winning the Grey Cup, but I think like they're going to get. I mean, the East is. You can't figure the East out week to week.
No.
Like, Hamilton's good a couple of games. Ottawa looked like they were dead. They come beat us. Now they beat two Western powerhouses.
In a row, right? Yeah. And look good doing it both times.
Mark Trestman, is he good because he's had good quarterbacks? Or is he good because he makes good quarterbacks? Because this does not look like a well-coached team this year. They make mistakes.
Yeah, they're undisciplined.
And they've got a good team. Like, they've got some good players. Wilder, S.J. Green, Armani Edwards is pretty decent. I like that Declan Cross as a football
player. He's a good player. Yeah.
But their secondary's terrible.
Their defense has been horrendous from the beginning of time, like regarding the season. But once again, I mean, if you don't have a quarterback, you know, I don't care how good you are. It'd be interesting to see what happens even in Calgary if Bo Levi goes down. Mm. You know, can they win football games? I don't know. It's tough.
Did Corey Chamberlain get enough credit for what he did in Toronto last year? Now in Arkansas?
Of course not.
Like, he didn't get.
He had that defense humming.
I mean, that playoff game when they beat the Riders, I mean, they beat the Riders because of the defense.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, when we come back, we'll wrap it up. I'll let you guys go. Thanks for this, guys. I guess get a couple quick closing thoughts from you, Bestie. Your thoughts on this game and going forward to Montreal.
I mean, we keep talking about this on the show. You don't want to criticize a win. You know, we had a win tonight. There were some hiccups. There were some warts. But we did enough to win, you know. Great special teams performance. You know, offense had some moments there where it really, like, looked like a good offense. Everything was clicking, you know. And defense seemed to have that fire, that intensity back. So, you know, obviously it wasn't a 60-minute effort by all three phases. But, like, there was enough good things there that I'm happy. And I'm happy we got the win. And I'm happy we're kind of, moving in the right direction again.
Great. Paul, as far as I'm concerned, great day for Rider Nation. You win, Edmonton loses, you're in the driver's seat for second, and you got the game against them here in 2 weeks. Just got to take care of business against Montreal. Hey, they won on the road here, and that's all you got
to
do.
Mm-hmm. All you can ask for is to be able to control your own destiny, and they're in the driver's seat right now. You go in, you beat a team that's essentially desperate, incredibly desperate. You go in, you travel across the country. I mean, it's a big win. So I still think there's concerns. Don't get me wrong. You can't sweep stuff under the rug. That offense needs to get going because they are actually below average, in my opinion.
Yeah.
From a production standpoint, the stats speak for itself. But, I mean, a win's a win. You just got to keep grinding it out.
Hey, I'm snickering because I think this is a good lesson for all of us. Maybe more so me than you guys because you actually played in the league. But we have fans calling and we're up and down like a roller coaster here. Think about this. This season has been, it feels like the season's gone on for 10 years. When you think about all the releases and the guys getting cut and everything. Yeah, and this team is in second place.
Yeah. And we were after they lost to Montreal at home, we were like, we're already done. This season's already over. And like, look where we are from there. Like it wasn't that long ago. If you think about it, like it's been nuts. And I'm really happy for that. This team's shown a lot of perseverance, you know, so they've really come a long way since then.
You got to give them that. As wild as this season's gone, they've been resilient, and they haven't given up on Chris Jones. So that should tell you something. They have not given up. They've stuck together. So
yeah, absolutely. I mean, the locker room's got to be. I mean, they got to be pretty tight if they're finding ways to win close games. Because I don't think you win close games, and I don't think you're able to play strong as you are down the stretch if they're not all buying in, I guess.
All right, fellas, thanks for this, and have a good rest of the weekend, okay?
Thanks, guys.
All right,
thank
when
you.
We come back, we'll wrap it up in a minute. You're listening to Rough Riders, the A&W Sports Cage Radio Roundtable on the Riders Radio Network. Welcome to the A&W Sports Cage Radio Roundtable. I want to thank them for their sponsorship of this show, pardon me, and also to our friends at Mike and Shelley Jen Austin at Great Plains Realty. Thanks to them for sponsoring our hotline. All right, our final score, 30-29. The Riders beat the Toronto Argonauts. They're back in action next Sunday in Montreal. Right now, the Riders sit in second place in the CFL's West. And, of course, they've got that big Thanksgiving Day matchup with the Eskimos on deck. But they can't look past the Alouettes to that Eskimo game. And that's always a danger. I know we're always worried about the Riders doing that. But a solid effort tonight as they get the game-winning field goal from Brett Lowther from 56 yards away. If he didn't have a chance to call in tonight and get in, you can call Rod's Sports Cage normally 4 to 6:30 Monday to Friday here on 620 CKRM. A reminder, the Pats lost their home opener tonight to the PA Raiders 3-1. They've started the season 0-2. And the Saskatoon Hilltops beat the Regina Thunder 48-24 in PFC action. Of course, also this weekend, it was the Rams falling 33-20 to Paul Waldo's U of S Huskies at Griffith Stadium yesterday. And earlier today, Ottawa beat Edmonton by a count of 28-15 behind 157 rushing yards from William Powell. We already mentioned the Riders scored, and right now it's 20-11, Hamilton leading BC in the fourth quarter. There, that'd be a big blow to BC's potential playoff hopes if they lose there on home turf. Like to thank our affiliates here on the Rough Rider Radio Network, 96.3 Cruise FM in Saskatoon, GX94 in Yorkton. We got 900 CKBI in Prince Albert. We've got 102.3 FM CJNS in Meadow Lake, 1050 AM on your dial, CJNB in North Battleford, and your flagship station for Saskatchewan Rough Riders football, as it's been for many years and many, many more years to come, we're hoping, 620 CKRM. Once again, our final score, the Argos lose to your Rough Riders 30-29. For everybody involved here, I'm Michael Ball saying so long, and we'll talk to you soon.